Morning, everyone. This is another day that the Lord has made. That's right. This rain we need. We can't have no water to drink if we don't have no rain. Nothing's gonna grow. Although I'm thinking about as tall as I'm gonna get, but anyway, we still need the water. I'll try to bring this lesson to you all this morning. This touched me because some things that are in this lesson I have done, some things I'm still doing, and the point of the lesson is to try to wake us up, get us aware, and how's this saying go? When you know better, you do better. So we strive to try to do better. None of us are perfect, but this is what we do. But we have to hear and learn and go from there. Y'all join me while I ask the Lord for a little strength. Oh Lord, I come before you at this time. As I stand before you and our congregation, I ask that you give me the strength to bring this message to myself as well as those that are here and those that may be listening on the live feed. Lord, we come before you asking that you give us what we need to help us to be better Christians. Forgive us when we falter, but help us to realize our mistakes and do better the next time around. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What I want to talk to you all about this morning is going to be about a little simple thing, a little simple word called drifting. I looked it up in the dictionary, and drifting comes from the word drift, which we all probably have an idea in your mind. When I say the word drift, you'll think of something that relates to that word. And the definition that I found, it says to move smoothly or easily in a direction that's not planned or guided. It also means to behave or live in a way that is not guided by a definite purpose or plan. And it could also mean to change slowly from one state or condition to another. When I first thought of the word drifting, my mind goes to a boat on the water, or maybe a leaf on the water, just floating. Or you could think of the clouds in the sky, how they just pass on by, seem like they drift across the sky with nothing definite, just moving, sometimes a little faster than others. You could also think about being in a conversation in a room with a bunch of people, how the conversation would move from one thing to another. That's a classification of drifting. And I'm also aware that if I stay up here and talk too long, y'all will drift. So I'm not going to be up here that long. But I want to read you a little something of incident about drifting. Two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. As they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was thrashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. Caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body, and then 2 or 3 days later, the other. Now, that's a form of physical drifting, or drifting in a physical sense. But there's also dangers not limited to just the physical realm. As was read in your hearing this morning, the scripture that was read from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard it. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So these verses tell us that we can drift to destruction in a spiritual realm. And my question today is, are we drifting? How about would you know if you were? Now I want to put a few I want to say a few things that maybe you would consider that could be, you could learn about drifting spiritually as well as physically. Drifting doesn't require any effort. By not paying attention to the Word of God, not frequently reading and meditating on them closely, by not retaining God's Word in our memories and allowing God's Word to embrace us, we will slowly drift away. Now, many times we do, we read our Bible. We retain what we read for a little while. But has there ever been an occasion when you read something and then you go out into the world and something happens and you reflect back on what you read? And many times, in my case, it always been after the incident is over. And I think, hey, I shouldn't have did that. Or, dang, I shouldn't have said that. I should have conducted myself a little differently, because I'm supposed to be a Christian. But it's not too late. It's just the fact that when I realize it, that's supposed to strengthen me for the next time around, so that I can do better. Because it's not that I'm trying so much as to make myself better than anybody else. But once I took on that role of a Christian, I said I was going to try to be like Christ. And I said I was going to try to live my life patterned to Christ. So when I allow myself to be overtaken by situations, then I'm not fulfilling what I said I was going to do. And therefore, I'll be drifting. Another thing about drifting is, it's an unconscious process. When we have received the gospel truth into our minds, we are in danger of letting them slip. Our minds and memories are like a leaky vessel. They do not without much care retain what is poured into them. I know that for a fact, because I can read something. A few minutes later, I forgot what I read. I got something on my mind, and oftentimes I've mentioned it before. I can go from one room to another and forget what I come in there for. But that's typical. Satan steals away the word with the entanglements and snares of the world. The thorns that choke the good seed. If we do not well be attentive, we shall not long retain the word of God. Inattentive hearers will soon be forgetful hearers. That can happen when we go out into the world and we just living our life trying to do the right thing, and someone comes across our paths and aggravates us. My favorite pet peeve, I'm a little better at it now than I used to be. It's when I'm driving, someone cuts in front of me, and then don't even go a block, and they're going to make a turn. Why? I can't understand it. But I'm getting better at it. But the way I react to that, and my wife can attest to it, she keeps telling me, you can't drive nobody's car but your own. So I have to, you know, bear in mind, unconsciously, that's the devil trying to steal me away, cause me to drift. If I'm not careful, I will lose it. But I'm striving every day to try to be better. We never drift upstream or against the tide. And that is kind of peculiar, isn't it? If you saw a leaf on a river, you know the current is going this way. We can see that leaf going that way. That would be something to pay attention to. Faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. We must constantly be adding to our faith. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it reads, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. If we do that, that will keep us aware. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. The moment you stop growing, you start going backwards or going downward. So we have to keep a constant awareness of where we are. Unlike that leaf, the stream is going to carry you downstream. But we have to make an effort to go upstream and not go downstream with the current. Because like I said, we never drift upstream. Now, another thing about drifting is the speed downstream increases. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. When we can hear the noise of the waterfall, it is already too late. As we move further and further from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. It never occurs to us until it's too late. You know, we as Christians, we're in a struggle every day. I'm sure you all know that. But if you're not constantly trying to be aware of trying to do the right thing, so easily and so quickly you can be misled or just swept away by the current. And another thing about drifting, it is dangerous to others. Parents who are just drifting will soon lose golden opportunities to teach their children. I can also attest to that one. At a period of time, I was drifting, and it caused me some opportunities that I wish that I could get back, but I know I can't. But when my children were younger, there was some things I wished I could have did with them. Now that I'm in the church, trying to live a better life, put aside some of those things that I used to do, I think they're paying a little bit more attention to me. Sometimes they tell me stuff that I didn't realize they were watching. Never yet so far has none of them have told me to my face, like, Daddy, you used to do that. But I know that they can see a difference. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that I had time enough to make a change. But how much danger could I have been to my children if I continued to drift? and didn't make a change. As I was getting older, they were getting older also. Even though I may have missed sometimes, there's still some things I can tell them now that they might listen to. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it tells us, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." If parents lay that foundation of Christ in the child's life, they can go out and do whatever they want to do. But at some point in their life, that foundation is going to, when they stray away or they sink down, they're going to hit that bottom, that foundation. And it's going to occur to them, "I used to do this. I used to go to church. I used to be with grandma, grandpa, mama, daddy, uncle, somebody. And I've heard this before. I remember that song. I went to that place." And it may make them make a change in their life before it's too late. Of course, in some, it may not. Again, it touched me because I had a foundation. It wasn't in the Church of Christ, but it was in the church. But I remembered, sort of like the prodigal son. And I realized I needed to make a change because spiritually I was heading for that waterfall. And I thank God I did make a change. But there's something to know. One more thing about drifting. It ends in shipwreck. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there shall be no escape from a just punishment. As stated in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It tells us that back when the Israelites had the Ten Commandments to live by, for every violation, every disobedience, every transgression, they paid for it. Some of it was quick. Some of it was very harsh. Sometimes the Lord wasn't as lenient as he is today. I thank God that he's lenient today, because if it wasn't, I may not be standing up here before you right now. Some of the things that I know I've done. But as I said, it could end in shipwreck. Now, the danger of drifting is real. If it wasn't, there wouldn't be no reason to talk about it. But we're going to shift now and look at a few signs to let you know that you may be drifting, or you may be beginning to drift. In that tragic event that I read about, surely it may not have would have happened if they had kept an eye on a fixed place around about them. Surely they would have seen that they got to that point of no return. If they had fixed their eye on a certain point and said, "We're not going to get past this tree, or we're not going to go past this rock, we're not going to go any further than this point." But like us today, they got so caught up in catching fish. All the fish were biting so good. Had to be. They take their mind off of what was going on. Now, one of the signs to let you know that you may be drifting is a decrease or no desire to study God's word and pray. Again, I can attest to that. Now, I didn't intend for this lesson to be a confession of mine, but I wanted you all to know that this lesson was not intended to be talking to nobody in particular, because I'm telling you about what happened to me. And hopefully, you can be wise enough that it won't happen to you. the Bible tells us of sin's dreadful consequences and how God saves us from sin. Without God's revelation, how can we truly know our origin, our purpose, and our destiny? God's word provides direction for living a happy and useful life. Now, in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. At one point in my life, I lost the desire to read God's word. Didn't even think about praying. All I was interested in was working to make money and, as we said, to enjoy life. If you asked me about coming to church on a Sunday, my answer was definitely, man, this is my day to rest. I don't work hard all week. How wrong I was. It never occurred to me, how did I work hard all week if it wasn't for God's help? And he blessed me with a job. He kept me healthy the whole time I was working. And then on Sunday, I couldn't even give back an hour. But that was me. I didn't know it, but I was drifting. When one loses their desire to study God's word, they are drifting. And prayer is an avenue to communicate with God. It is both a constant and occasional correspondence with him. We can reach out to him regularly or at a fixed time and upon every emergency. Now in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it states, then he spoke a parable to them, that man always ought to pray and not lose heart. We sin if we neglect. It is that which the duty of every day requires. If we don't pray every day, well, let me put it like this. Suppose you got blessings by praying. And if you didn't pray today, then you didn't get no blessing today. How far could we make it in that day? A thought. When Christians pray less and less, they are drifting more and more. Another thought, when we have a decrease or no desire to be with God's people, Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when he said to me, let me go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. This includes attending services to worship God. If we no longer rejoice in the worship of God in the presence of our brethren, we are drifting away. Now, I know the pandemic gave a lot of people an opportunity to stay at home and watch church on television. Because church was on television before the pandemic came about. We got different preachers on every Sunday, sometimes during the week. And it's easy. The devil can whisper in your ear, you ain't got to go today. Just stay at home and look at church service on TV. After you do it the first time, next time it'll be a little bit more easier. But somewhere, we're supposed to be with the brothers and the sisters. From Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it tells us it is important because it helps us to encourage one another and grow in our faith. We're also not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, if that was God's word, I think that's what he wanted us to do. Now, sure, if you are sick for whatever ailment, physical, terribly ill, and you have the opportunity to see the live feed on television, that is a wonderful thing. Because you can still sort of, join in the worship services with your brothers and sisters. God made that available. Because technology has evolved so we can do that. But if you are able-bodied, why would you do that? When you've already been told that you're not supposed to forsake the assembling of the brothers and sisters. Another thought to think about. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it encourages us to support and uplift one another every day so that we can avoid being led astray by the temptations of sin. It reminds us that we are all in this together and that we should strive to be a positive influence on those around us. When a Christian prefers the companionship of people of the world rather than fellow Christians, he is drifting toward the rocks of spiritual destruction. Now, it doesn't just limit us either to worship. From my understanding, yesterday, the sisters came together at another sister's house, and they had a wonderful time. We have come together with other Christians from other congregations. It wasn't a worship service. It was a song service. And we raved about that, how glad we were that we were there. Anytime you have company with people of like mind that are peaceful, that are godly, and even if they're not godly, they're not causing confusion, it's a glorious thing. But we have to play our part in being a part of that if you're there. Because who wants to be in a situation where there's all kinds of chaos going on and you can't relax and enjoy yourself? Another point. If we decrease or have no desire to share the gospel, then we are drifting. When one obeys the gospel, he knows God has blotted out his sins, has made him a new creature in Christ, and he wants to tell the world about it. An example of this is found in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Therefore, the rage of the persecutors only extended the reign of Christ. When a Christian no longer has that desire to take the message of salvation to others, he is drifting. And he is also disobeying Christ because Christ gave us that command to spread the word, to spread the gospel, and to make disciples of others. We're not bringing forth fruit. We're not prospering. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as Christians if we don't do that. And lastly, increasing thrill over things of the world. In John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. I used to think that it was great. Well, let me put it like this. I knew that in order for me to have what I wanted out of life, I had to work for it. I knew that I couldn't get what I wanted out of life by breaking somebody else's house and stealing. So that was, that, you know, that much I understood. I wasn't that kind of guy. So I was committed to working. And my idea was I would work any day of the week, any hour, any time, as long as I was getting honest money. But see, my mom told me when I was young that soap and water could clean anything but sin. And then, you know, as long as you do honest work, no matter how dirty you get, you can get clean and everything will be fine. So I was one that said, okay, I'll work. And I didn't care what kind of job it was and where I had to go to do it. But I got so caught up in that that I was loving the thrill, the lust of the world, the lust of the eye. I was loving working to have what I considered to be the finer things in life. If I saw a suit that I wanted to get, I didn't have the money, I'd go to work, save my money so I could buy it. We needed a car. Couldn't get the top of the line one, but I'd get the next best thing that my money could afford. But I still had to work to get the money. I wasn't going to take it from nobody. But I concentrated more on working and not on doing what God would have me to do. The lust of the flesh are all those things that excite and inflame the pleasures of the flesh, usually called luxury. The lust of the eye are delighted within the treasures, riches, and rich possessions. By an extravagant eye is the lust of covetousness. Then there is the pride of life. A vain mind craves all the grandeur of a vain, glorious life. This is the ambition that thirsts after honor and applause. It must be flattered with admiration and praise. I'm sure some of you may know some people that if they're not in the front of things, they don't want to be a part of it. If they're not the president, I'm not going to be a part of this organization. They can't take a lowly position because they feel like that doesn't become them. If we reach the point when we find more pleasure in some world activity than meeting with others to worship God, we definitely are spiritually adrift. Now, as I said before, it can happen, and it does happen to the best of us. Number one, we're not perfect. So we're going to make mistakes as long as we live. But to be aware of things is what's important. And if you are aware of it, you can kind of look out for it a little bit. Now, when I was younger, my mom used to dress me up with the raincoat, those big heavy galoshes you put on when it was raining, and send me to school. And I tried to jump in every puddle of water I could see. Because, hey, I had on a raincoat, I got on my boots, and I'm not going to get wet, so I'm good. But even if I had on the boots and the raincoat, that doesn't mean that I have to jump in every puddle of water I see. And when we learn, as the saying goes, when you learn better, you do better. So if we can learn from someone else's mistakes, that doesn't mean where he said it happened to him like that. I'm going to try and see if it happened to me like that. You're supposed to listen to their mistakes so you don't have to do the same thing that they did to find out. It will spare you. Hopefully this lesson will do the same. I got a few remedies, just a few, against drifting. And number one, we have to keep growing. Spiritually speaking, this involves steady effort, persistent application, attentive care. There is no place for retirement and living the life of a Christian. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, it tells us this: but also for this reason, giving all diligence, Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For all these things are yours, and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And in this case, we're talking about drifting. You will never drift. Man, it sounds like it's a lot to do. All those things. But if you concentrate on doing one and get that one down, and then work on another one and get that one down, before long, you will see a change in your life, I'm sure. Granted, you probably have a lot of those characteristics already, so that's less work you have to do. But the point is, this will make you a good person. It will keep you from drifting, and God will be pleased with you. How would you know that God will be pleased with you? Because you will be blessed, and you should be able to see your blessings. And if you can't see your blessings, do like I had to do. Look at where I was 6 months ago and where I'm at today. If you don't see a difference, then go back a little bit further. Look at where you are today. Look where you were a year ago. If you don't see a blessing, then keep going back. Somewhere you will see a difference. You should. If you don't, possibly you might be drifting. Maybe not. But maybe you should make some changes. Another thought. One other thing. Watch out for undercurrents. Undercurrents. We must always be on guard for a hidden negative emotion or desire of temptation. For we have a fleshly nature which wages war against the soul. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." And even in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Many times, as I say, it's always too late, and I realize, if I coulda, shoulda, woulda. If I hadn't did this, I shoulda did that. I wish I coulda did that. But for that incident, it may have passed. But for the incident to come, it may help. That's what the learning process is all about. Expect to go against the tide. There are many tides to sweep us away. Popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, denominationism, false doctrines of all kinds, liberalism, and worldliness. In the church, probably the greatest enemies of the church in our lifetime. If one drifts along with the majority, he certainly will be lost. From Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And lastly, we must have a strong anchorage. From Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I hope that this lesson may help you to take a double look, a double take at life. I know before I got this lesson, I didn't see a whole lot in my past life. I see so much more now. I know I have so much more to guard against. And no, some days is good, some days are bad. I'm not where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. And I'm still striving every day, because I want very much to spend eternity with Christ. This is my lesson for you today. I hope it has been a help. If you would like to obey the gospel, you first must hear the gospel, and you have heard a portion of the word today. You must believe in what you hear. If you don't believe it, you don't have a conviction. So if you've heard the word, you believe it, you must repent and confess that Christ is the Son of God. You should want to repent because of the ways you have been. And then you'll be buried into the waters of baptism with Christ. And you'll rise a new creature. And then comes the hardest part, living the rest of your life serving Christ. Some people may think that's the easiest, that's the hardest. Because from that day on, you're going to be bombarded with all kinds of things you can't even imagine that the devil's going to throw at you. He's trying to throw you off course. But we got a guide that we can go by. So that's my lesson today. If you have a need of any desires, of any help, you can come forward as we sing the hymn of invitation. Thank you.